Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, March 18th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 44, the fourth paragraph, starting with, "If a Mere Code of Morals," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Audrey M.P., 12 Traditions, Christina M. Reader of the text, Eileen D. And reading page 164, and our backup reader is Jody E. The reference number for Wednesday, March 17th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,593. And for this morning, Thursday, March 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 16,607. That's 16607. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Mary B., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Audrey M.P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning, Dawn. I'm Audrey M.P., calling from Santa Monica, California.
And excuse me, Audrey, could you get a little closer to the microphone? Perhaps you're kind of cutting out.
Okay, let me see. I'm sorry to take this time for the meeting.
And are you, could you press star one, please, Audrey? Star one? Okay, Jody E., could we have you read the 12 steps, please?
Yes, this is Jody E., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. And now I'll ask Christina M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Dawn. Thanks so much. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 44, the fourth paragraph, If a Mere Code of Morals, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Eileen D. to begin reading. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator. My name is Eileen D. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. And the reading. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Wow, what a great paragraph. And moderator, if you could please time me. I did not start the clock. Thanks. So I was that good girl. I was the one who was full of me. It was all about me. You know, I was raised in a very hectic four siblings household. Big occasions, and always food was the big occasion in my very large Irish family. And I just somehow got into food at an early age. It says it doesn't really matter after it all is said and done. But I really took to food like a duck to water, and did that for all of my life. And even when I joined program, I would hear at the end, you know, not my will, but yours be done. And I think, well, that's lovely. That's fine. But I didn't, it got to my head, but not to my heart. And so, you know, the morals were good, like the North Star, you know, right from wrong. You don't kill, you don't murder, you don't. But what was I doing? I was killing myself by my food secrets and by my hidden things. I mean, I knew where every restaurant was, and I knew that my favorite places for X, Y, and Z. And yet I somehow thought that was normal. So I was reading this paragraph, and there were four things that came up, four words: wish, will, power, and fail. Well, if I could have wished to be normal, it was all about the weight at the time, that would have been great. I thought I had great will. Well, it says in our book, in many of us, that we had good jobs and good families, and we were very, very sufficient in all our lives. When it came to food, no defense. The power, now there's the higher power. That was it. That was where the framework of what I finally had to realize finally was where I needed to be. Because without the power of my God, it was epic fail every time with the food. So how did that happen? Been in program a long time, spouted the mantras, went to the meetings, but it wasn't until I was on my knees, tired and exhausted. My beloved husband was very, very sick, and it was an honor for me to be a caregiver. It was an honor. He was the best guy ever. But I was tired. And the first meal that came to our hospital at Walter Reed, they brought two, and it was abstinent, and I ate it. Then the next meal came, two. Wasn't supposed to be. And all of a sudden, I turned to my husband and said, Stan, I think I'm abstinent. And he knew the program, and he said, that's great. And from then on, through my tears and through my care, my God gave me abstinence. So thank you for letting me share. I hope it encourages someone. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. Bye bye.
Thank you so much, Eileen D., for getting us started. I will now be opening up the line to take some names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning?
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Leslie M.
Leslie M. Who else would like to share?
Donna B.
Donna B. And there was somebody I missed.
Chris Michelle. A. California.
Who from California?
Chris A.
Chris A. from California. Okay, let's stop
and
there.
Maggie
we have
Rose.
Was that Leslie?
Maggie Rose.
Oh, Maggie Rose.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, very good. Let's stop there. We have Bruce E., Leslie M., Donna B., Chris A., and Maggie Rose. Bruce E., go ahead and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Well, I'm calling from Florida. Sunny Southwest Florida, Bruce E., I'm recovered. Hey, let's not talk about morals, all right? And let's not talk about a better philosophy of life here. I mean, I spent 20, 30 years, no morals, terrible philosophy of life. Life was completely unmanageable. No spiritual things in my life that I knew of. And just screwing up everything. So then I had a spiritual experience when I was 38. All of a sudden decided needed to have better morals, better philosophy of life, which I did. I endeavored upon that ambition of better morals or morals, philosophy in life. I did that. And I did pretty darn well, you know, and got married, had some kids, raising kids and all that, and launching a career that was pretty successful, starting to be successful. And I'm sitting down to eat, and I can't stop. And I got a better philosophy. I got morals, and I can't quit eating. And it says on here we could wish it away, or we could will it away. And I wished it, I willed it, and man, that, you know, wishing and willing didn't work. Wish upon a star. I was wishing upon a star was about it. I mean, I didn't have the willpower. I didn't have, because like I heard said here previously, no power. You know, I didn't have the power. So food's the solution, not the problem, because food leads me to the problem, which is lack of power, which leads me to the solution, which is no power, which is power. And no power and then power. So I get into vision. I start realizing some truth about myself, truth about the program, truth about what I got to do. And I got to do a real vigorous house cleaning. You know, I got to get rid of that stuff that I never got rid of before. I got to do this with a sponsor. I got to do this. I got to tell people about this. I got to get with this program. You know, I got to really, really do this thing right. Read this big book, study it. And the obsession and compulsion started to lift. It's amazed. Started feeling a connection. It's amazed. Hadn't been feeling that. Hadn't had the obsession and compulsion. That hadn't gone away. That was now lifting. And worked through the steps and got recovered with a sponsor and got recovered.
Time.
And that's a miracle. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Leslie M., will you share with us now, please, followed by Donna B. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Dawn B. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And the part that really speaks to me in this paragraph is, no matter, you know, it says, but we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. And I've been around for a long time. I've been in OA this year 31 years. And for 28 of those years, I just continued to think that there was something else that I was supposed to be doing, you know, that, you know, I could work at it harder, I could work at it faster, I could work at it, you know, more and more and more. And in a lot of my life, those things worked. But the thing here that didn't, you know, that didn't, it said, no matter how much we tried, it didn't save us. And it didn't save me, you know. But then at the end, it says, our human resources as marshaled by the will were not sufficient. They failed utterly. And in order for me to, you know, actually finally have this recovery, you know, what I had to do was be powerless, was give up trying. You know, I had to stop. I had to say, all right, okay, I can't do this. You know, that absolute surrender of, yes, I am powerless over the food. And for me also, I am powerless over my thinking, because my thinking took me back to the food every single time. And I had to, you know, I had to get to that point where, you know, I've heard someone share on the line, you know, we had to take every beautiful bite. You know, I had to take all those bites in order to get to the point where I got that gift of desperation, that willingness to say, all right, I'm done. I'm going to follow instructions. I'm going to do just what I'm told. I'm going to say yes, ma'am, instead of yes, but, because I'm not terminally unique. And when I finally did that and gave it my all, did the best that I could do, you know, the miracle has happened for me. And I'm very, very grateful for that. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Leslie M. Now, Donna B., will you share with us, followed by Chris A. Good morning, Donna, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. This is sort of a new thought that has never crossed my mind before, but it says that our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. And what causes me to pause here is to say, it isn't that my human resources are lacking, but when those human resources are marshaled by the will, they're not sufficient. But when my human resources are guided by my higher power, those resources suddenly take on a sufficiency that have much greater meaning and assistance in my life. And I think in that there's a message of hope, because when I would read this paragraph in the past, I would first be reminded of, at such a young age, I started making these lists. I can remember so vividly one list in particular, wear deodorant, and then how many sit-ups, and how many push-ups, and how many laps I would run, and don't eat this, and don't eat that. And I really believed that if I made those lists, I'd have the power to adhere to them, and that I would be able to accomplish my goal of being and staying sufficiently thin to get the approval that I was dying to get from the people around me. And now, for some reason this morning, I'm reminded of in the sex inventory where it talks about that these are God-given powers, that these are that they aren't to be loathed, that we aren't to be scared of them. And so I do think that I have been gifted by my higher power with some really meaningful resources that help me even in my path of recovery, not when I try to take control and make things go the way that I want them to go, but when I pause in my morning prayer, every morning I ask God to take my thoughts, to take my words, to take my actions, to take my fears, and to have me think as God would have me think, to speak the truth God would have me speak, to do the will of God, and to direct my attention to who God would have me be. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. Chris A., will you share with us now, followed by Maggie Rose, and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names. Good morning, Chris, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Chris A. I'm calling from Long Beach, California. It says, our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. And my biggest stumbling block, I know, even before coming into these steps, has been self-reliance and just the most willful countenance. In fact, in the step three prayer, I would say one of the most impacting things is when I pray, relieve me of the bondage of self, because that is what has kept me in a place of not being able to recover for decades. Something that looks really good on the outside, self-reliance and independence, wasn't very helpful at all for my recovery. And the crazy thing is, I knew that God's power was there. I just didn't know how, or I wasn't willing to fully surrender this one area. And it was the steps that brought me to a place that I could work out how to surrender, because I felt that I kept doing that. I really thought I was surrendering, but obviously I wasn't. I kept going back to the food. And so when it came to step one, finally getting to a place where I did believe I was truly powerless over food. And even though, again, from the outside, my life looked like it was being managed well, the inside did not match the outside. And my internal life was not being managed at all. And I came to step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore us to sanity. I knew that. I did believe that. But then that took me to three, and it was making a decision. And I tried everything before these steps, and this is what has helped me to make a decision by seeing what was written in the big book. I mean, these guys knew what they were talking about. They knew recovery, and they knew how to bring in a spiritual power. And I heard someone say recently, you know, she wakes up every morning untreated. And now I finally can wake up in freedom and say that to myself, knowing I've got to work the steps. I need to turn my will over and allow God to work through me. And I'm so grateful for this program and just grateful for all of your shares and for your service. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris A. from California. Maggie Rose, will you share with us now? And if you're just joining us, I wanted to let you know we're on page 44, the fourth paragraph that starts with, if a mere code of morals. And after Maggie's share, I'll be opening up the lines to take more names. Good morning, Maggie.
Hi, this is Maggie Rose M. from Vancouver, Canada. This part about the self-reliance and my will, I was raised that, you know, that this was my goal, was to be self-sufficient. And it's been and still is a struggle for me to get out of that rut of self-sufficiency. Recently, I lost my abstinence because I was relying on my self-sufficiency. And thank God I'm back on and working the program to the best of my ability, but I'm really trying to be reliant on God. And I know that's my biggest challenge, because I have this forgetter, or I fall back into that trap of self-sufficiency, and it won't work. I know it. It's been proven over and over and over to me. But, I ended up there again. And I pray to God that I can stay reliant on God and know that there is no other way except for me to fall back into the hands of God and allow His will, not mine, to be done. That I pray to be reliant every day and every moment on the God who is there for me. And I know that with that, well, I pray that with that, that I will not fall into my own willfulness, or when I do, to be aware of it and to talk to people and to get out of it as quickly as I can. And I'm so grateful for this meeting and to being here with you this morning. And I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Maggie Rose M. from Canada. And now I'm going to be taking more names. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Michelle.
Kevin, you.
Michelle.
Diane B.
Mary Ellen B. Mary
Evan
Ellen.
U. Evan U.
Evan U.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, I've got Michelle, Diane B., Mary Ellen, Evan U., and Jordan L. Michelle, will you share with us and give us your initial and where you're calling from, please?
Good morning. This is Michelle J. calling in from Arkansas, taking my seat. Gosh, these shares are all so beautiful and wonderful, and they all work together. And I just feel like I want to hit that nail on the head and drive it home this morning. All the steps, 1 through 12, there's one thing that they have in common, and that's the power source. A power greater than ourselves that can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Each step, we need that power. And I was just thinking about, you know, the light, the lamp. If I have a storm and it goes out, the power source is gone. If a storm is in my life come, I need that power source, right? To stay out of the food. If I just trip over it one day and it gets unplugged, it gets dark. I know I've got to plug it in. Now, I can get up in the morning and I can Look at all these little things I have all over my refrigerator. I don't eat this. I don't know what it is, you know, something. Maybe I've taken all the food out of my house. Maybe I have did yada, yada, yada. Nah, that didn't keep me abstinent. That doesn't keep me whole and satisfied and filled up today instead of the food. I need that power source. You must have it. Do everything that I can today to stay connected. Like I said, all of those steps, you need that power source. You need that higher power. God, for me, without him, I will falter. And I'm talking hopefully to somebody out there who for some reason keeps falling off the horse. I know people don't like that term, but I have fallen off the horse. And when I see what I did, it was because I became self-sufficient. I was relying on vision. I was relying on whatever. I need the power source above all else to lead me, to guide me, and to strengthen me every single moment of every single day. Get a power source. And with that, I will pass.
Michelle, I think we lost you there. Can you star one? Okay.
With that, I will pass.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. Diane B., will you share with us now, please? Followed by Mary Ellen. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. This is Diane B. from Southern California. And thank you, John, for your service, all of your service that you do, and all those behind the scenes that are helping you too. So grateful for vision for you. As far as this reading today, when, 43 years in program and in and out and up and down and all over the place, the bottom line for me is that this big book is part of the reason that leads me to God. And I was taught when I was young, I'm so grateful for the things that I were taught. I was taught all about God, and I have a deep understanding of him, and it hasn't changed over the years, which I'm grateful for. But I was also taught that I can do anything that I set my mind to if I'm willing to do the work for it. And I have worked this one over and over and over again. The food has been the great teacher for me, and I'm so grateful that God has given me this challenge in my life, because it turns me to him in no other way that anything else can. And there's a lot of different ways that I see God in my life now. I see it through good music. I see it through love of others. I see it through prayer, and I see it through service with others and with family, being with family too. I was obsessed with food for so many years, and my problem wasn't believing in God. I believed in God, but I didn't trust him. And so I didn't go to him with all my little detail problems, and with, you know, I'd go to him with the big problems, or if I got in trouble, then I'd go to him. But never the way that probably he would have me go to him and just lay out the details of my life to him. And anyway, I'm just so grateful for this program. I'm grateful for the opportunity to once again reunite with the God of my understanding in a way that is deeper and stronger. And I'm grateful for all of you too, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane B. Mary Ellen, will you share with us now, please, and give your initial of your last name and where you're calling from? Good morning, Mary Ellen.
Morning, Dawn. Yeah, my name is Mary Ellen, T's and Tango, and I live in Oregon. Thank you so much for your service work this meeting, and really love the shares as well. And I'm grateful to be here and to be absent and to be recovered today, because, you know, it's really, it is truly just a one day at a time experience. I'm learning that it doesn't really matter how long I've had abstinence. My recovery is really only in the here and the now, because it's a slippery, elusive, cunning disease that I have. And it really requires my investment on a daily basis of time with higher power and time with program. And my life is that much more rich and beautiful for this experience. I loved this paragraph, and you know, what really jumped out at me was the utterly fail. And I have had to utterly fail so many times in my life with diets, and then also, you know, a lot of fails with my relationships and how I interacted with people, because my life, even though I didn't know it, was really riddled with a lot of me trying to control the outcomes. And, you know, this disease has just been, you know, it's a disease that doesn't make sense to me. It's really very, very confusing and very difficult for me to understand. And I've had to let go of trying to understand the disease. I've been trying to get the playbook down. You know, if I could just understand it. Even in recovery, even since listening to these meetings, I've been trying to get that playbook written, and I realized I can't get the playbook written. I really have to just let go and make my recovery, my relationship around higher power, and then I start to see things like recently, you know, feeling a little squirrely about a certain food product, and realizing, oh, I think that's my disease talking, and I need your help, higher power, you know, help me to be willing to let go of this. I need to have these surrenders happen on a regular basis, but I couldn't get to this point until I've had these failures. You know, it was real easy for me to identify what the heavyweight champions were in my binge food category, but it's been real tricky for me to learn about these smaller items. And it's only been when I'm connected to higher power that I can see and I can feel the difference and start to see, oh yeah, maybe that's not such a great idea. Because ultimately what I'm starting to learn in these lessons of surrender is that it's not about the food. I should not be caring about what food I put in my mouth. What I should be caring about is where's my sense of peace with higher power? Where is her presence in my life? When's the last time I reached out to her? When did I sit down for a few minutes and find the diamonds that I get to see by just connecting with her? And it doesn't matter what I put in my mouth. And that's the lesson that I'm trying to learn. So these fails, these utterly failures have been a blessing. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Mary Ellen T. from Oregon. Evan U., will you share with us now, please, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service, and thank you, Team Thursday. So great to be here with you all. This paragraph is really perfect for me today. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient, really is speaking to me, because that's what, you know, this spiritual awakening as a result of the steps has been for me this time around. you know, and a philosophy of life and a code of morals can come from anywhere. And I've been trained in these steps for so long now. And I've taken that sort of spiritual knowledge and all of that and I've codified that, and I've turned that into a knowing. And there's a great tradition, which I'll paraphrase. It goes something like, when the truth is lost, virtue appears. When virtue is lost, morality appears. And I have a disease that is always trying to fix myself and to come up with a formula for success. And so I have all these codes and all these ideas of what right living is, of what moral living is and how to be right. And ultimately, you know, in that diseased place, how to be perfect. You know, that's what I'm really, you know, that's what I'm trying to achieve in my disease. And all of that, all those ideas and all that, even all those ideas of right and wrong are supplanted by a real genuine connection to a higher power. That today for me is where I know I need to be in order to really hear the truth of the moment. And when I'm not listening to that, I fall back on my plans, my strategies, my code of morals. This is right. I should do this. But it's so easy to step off the path, even when I think I'm doing something right. I'm reminded again today that it's just listening, and throwing all my ideas out the window on a moment-to-moment basis and just saying, God, what next? That's kind of the only code of morals I need, which is, God, what next? What would you have me be? And listening very carefully. Wonderful to be here with you guys. Have a great one. Evan from California.
Thank you so much, Evan. All right. We are on page 44, the fourth paragraph, If a Mere Code of Morals. Now we'll have Jordan L. share, and then I'm going to take a couple more names. Good morning, Jordan. Please share where you're calling from.
Good morning. my name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling in from Gunnison, Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with you guys this morning. So our human resources. I gotta say, I learned a lot about human resources this time around. And I want to be careful here because the codes and the philosophies and the things that those like guidelines that I was blessed with from my family of origin, I don't want to demonize those too much because they got me to where I was when I was able to walk in here, you know. And while at the time while walking in here, it seemed like I was like desperate and hopeless and out of ideas and options and all of that, which was awesome. That was exactly where I needed to be. I look back now and I'm like, geez, man, I'm really grateful that I had a family that gave me that gift. They gave me the gift of these codes and these philosophies and these things. And while it was really painful to let go of those, I look back now and I'm like, it couldn't have happened any other way, you know, like it happened exactly as it was supposed to. But like I said, when I came in here and I was confronted with this idea that hard work was not going to be, hard work was not going to avail me this. I had based my life around that thought up until this point, that if you worked hard enough, you could have whatever you wanted. And this was the first time that I was confronted with the idea that hard work wasn't going to get me this. It just wasn't going to work. The needed power wasn't there. It's not in that idea or that philosophy. It was painful. It was difficult. It was hard to put that aside and to seek a different power, you know? And it's something I did only because I absolutely had to, you know? Now I have a lot of gratitude for that. because this way of life is absolutely awesome. Thank you for letting me share. That's all I got this morning.
Thank you, Jordan L. And I'll take a couple more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Liz A.
Liz A.
Yeah.
And I'll take one more name.
Rudy.
Sherry KB.
I heard Sherry KB, and I apologize to the person I didn't hear. Liz A., will you please go ahead?
Hi, I'm Liz A. from Michigan. Grateful to be here. What I realize about this reading is that the moral code that I had, I actually thought I was doing pretty darn good at keeping them, like that list, that check that God and I kept. And when I came into Overeaters Anonymous over 30 years ago, what I realized was that that list and my behavior really were miles apart. There was a chasm between those. And it was continuing to drag myself back to meetings, back to the tables, back to the honesty, that I realized that I wasn't even able to keep that impossible list that I had running in my head. And the beauty of what I've learned, and I'm still learning, because I think I have to set aside what I know every single day to be open to what God has for me. What I realized also is that my higher power has never been into excuses. My higher power is just asking for my heart, just for that tender willingness to learn and to just show up a hot mess or a not hot mess. And you know, that list still runs in my head. And it's a bargaining. If I do this, God will do this. And that's insanity. And the beauty is that when I come and I listen, I realize that I am still trying to keep that list, and that God just wants me to rest in Him and to be open, willing, and ready, you know, if there's an amends, or just to be prepared for the day in that third step prayer. I heard somebody else mention that. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz A. And now we'll have Sherry KB share with us. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Dawn, and Team Thursday, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. You know, I had a hard time because I love these paragraphs, and it was like, gosh, should I share on this day, tomorrow? It was tough. It was a tough choice. But the truth is that what's really jumped out at me is marshaled by the will. And marshaled means brought together or ordered or directed. And, you know, I've spent most of my life directing my own life and others too. And, you know, that has been, I'm hitting what I call a third step bottom. I'm back in the steps again. And I am hitting such a bottom around my will that it is just as deadly as the food was for me. My will is actually worse, my self-will. Because I have tried, somebody had mentioned on the line, I was raised to believe that this was a good thing. You know, it was important to rely on finite self. They didn't use the word finite, but finite means limited, and infinite means limitless. And I tried for decades to fight this disease with my own will, and I never could, because what I forgot is that I have a temporary solution for a permanent problem. That's the deal, because I was using my will, my self-will, which was a temporary solution, because God's the solution for me. If I don't lean on God, you know, 100% of the time, I'm in trouble. I really am, and I wasn't getting that, because I thought that I could will myself to deal with this disease, and I can't. I'm just learning how powerless I am, because what's really underneath it is all that bondage of self stuff. And yes, the food, I have to have the food down in order to connect with my higher power, because when I'm in the food, I make food my higher power, which is really insane when you think about it. And I just know that, you know, I've had all these morals and convictions and all of this other stuff, but it never was enough to overpower this disease. And it didn't matter. I mean, you know, what matters is that connection with my higher power, and that I can't do this without my higher power. And I'm also just seeing how deadly, you know, the food had covered up all this other stuff that is worse for me, and learning about my emotions and how they set me up, and that how this self-will is the voice of my disease. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry Kibbe, and to everyone who shared. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. We'll have Jody E. please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, this is Jody E., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.